First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Praise God. It's going to be an interactive session too. But I'm going to read a few scriptures to us. And then we discuss. First Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. First Peter chapter 5, in verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Grace. May the God of all grace. We're writing and we are letting you know that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. The things we have been writing so far, this is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Acts 20:32. What is the grace of God? Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Popular scripture, I suppose. Therefore, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? There's a particular message that builds up. The Bible says it's called the word of his grace. It is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. God's word. So when we say there's a particular message that builds up, it's called the word of his grace. What is that grace? One of the things that happened to the body of Christ some years back, last 5-6 years, is the advent of grace preachers. There used to be a time in the body of Christ we just know people are preachers. But it got to a point where people say they are grace preachers. Hallelujah. And one thing that was common to all those grace preachers was the fact that in every sentence, almost in every sentence, they will mention grace. 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 And you know, if you are not saying it like that, you are not preaching grace. So then I used to wonder, is this what it means to preach grace? What exactly is that grace of God? Are we preaching grace? For instance, if I come to church and I give you an instruction on how to be fervent, walk with the Lord, am I preaching the grace of God? Or am I preaching grace only when I talk about the fact that you are forgiven? What is the grace of God? Hallelujah. When can a man be said to be preaching the grace of God? Would it interest you to know that Jesus never used the word grace? Not once. It was people that used the word for him. Bible says the child grew in grace and you know in wisdom and stature, having favor with men and God, and the grace of God was upon him. John 1:14, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He himself never used the word grace. But did Jesus preach grace? Did Jesus teach the grace of God? Hallelujah. So that's what I want us to consider tonight. So before you get carried away, it's not everybody that is saying grace, grace, that is sound. It is not everybody that is punctuating every line with grace, grace, that is sound. And it is not everybody that is not mentioning grace every time that is not preaching grace. There are times a man is preaching the grace of God and he's not even making mention of the word. Another man is talking grace, 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 mentioning grace, and he's not preaching grace. For instance, you know, I heard someone say, because of the grace of God we have received, because of the grace of God, more grace to your elbow, praise God, more power to your elbow. Grace is here. There's nothing grace cannot do for you. Grace will give you wings to fly. Grace is, that's not grace. Hallelujah. It's only excited. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at this. What is the grace of God? Who is lost already? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the grace of God? Grow in grace, kai. Greek conjunction, kai. Grow in grace, which is the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the grace of God? The knowledge of our, you know, that's what John says, we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So when a man talks about Jesus and that which he has done and the life he expected to live in him, he is preaching the grace of God. He doesn't have to mention the word grace for it to be grace. Hallelujah. A revelation of our position, our identity in Christ, our inheritance, a revelation of that which Jesus accomplished for you and I, that which we have received in him, unsearchable riches of his grace. That is the grace of God. And when I give you instruction with respect to your identity, I'm also preaching the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know, most times people cannot separate the difference. They don't know the difference between being legalistic and preaching Christian commitment. They don't know the difference. Let's pray. 100 hours prayer. Ha! Are we not becoming legalistic like this? Is this not extreme? Praise God. Let's go for evangelism. Everybody must be around. Why must we all be around? Let's just do as we are led. Is this not a law? Praise God. There used to be a time in this church, people come late for church meeting, workers in church, they come late for church meeting, after the meeting, they say, we're praying 1 hour. Why? Because you came late. You say, hey, this is legalistic. Praise God. You're coming late. Is it the grace of God? If making you pray because you came late is legalistic, what is your coming late? Is it the grace of God? Look at 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 5. What is the grace of God? You know, I want us to have this discussion, but I'm trying to show you different angles. Different angles to consider. In fact, many of the grace preachers are not sound that I've seen. They're not sound. They're very lopsided. All this is, I don't pray for days. I just come back. I say, Alpha, Daddy, it's been a long time. Ah, who is your daddy? Oh, boy. Do you know what you are saying? You don't pray and you come and you say, I'm not saying God is angry with you because you have not prayed. But it's an irresponsible stance or approach. And you say, how far have you been? My dog, my homie. Hallelujah. It says, because we're under the grace of God. It's reckless. Hallelujah. One other person said, because we are saved by grace. You see, if as you are saved now, if you decide to live anyhow, well, see you in heaven. I said, well, there's an element of truth in what you are saying. A man that is saved is saved. Hallelujah. We all shall see. But we don't preach. That's not how the apostles taught it. That if you choose to live anyhow, no Allah, we'll still see in heaven. No. The apostle Paul would rather say, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Do you understand? You will say, hey, so sure, because there's an attitude, there's a lifestyle that becomes the saints. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5. What does it mean to preach the grace of God? Because I sense that we have not seen it all. There's going to be another strong wave of so-called grace message that will be so rampant in these days. People will rise up from different quarters, you know, calling themselves grace preachers. But you must be able to separate and know which is which. Some folks are not preaching grace. You know what some people preach as grace? It's just liberty. Liberty to do what? Now we are free. We are free. No, that's not grace. The grace of God is preaching Christ. That's why Paul says at 1 Corinthians 2:1 to 2, I determined not to know anything amongst you except Christ and him crucified. Paul preached grace, but he calls it Christ and him crucified. 1 Peter. Okay, quickly now. First Peter chapter 5, look at this again, verse 12. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. This is the true grace of God. That means you can have people presenting something that sounds like the grace of God. Peter is saying, this one is the true grace of God. And what is it? What has Peter been writing about from chapter 1? What has he been writing about? See how the grace message... Listen, there's a way the grace message is presented. There's a way to teach grace. That if you don't teach it like that, people are going to turn out becoming lascivious and unruly, taking the grace of God for granted. It doesn't mean they are going to hell. It just means they won't maximize and take advantage of the life Jesus has given them now. Of what use it is it to say, I have the grace of God, but I mean, I'm not walking with the Lord. Of what use is it to say, I'm saved, I have all, to sleep? A man that does not study the Bible, does not have diligent commitment to prayer, is not passionate about souls, is not serious, says, the grace of God. He's under grace, but he's not growing. Praise God. So there's a way to present the message. And we learn this in the letters of the apostles. This young man, of course, is teaching it better today. I remember after I engaged him on that post, I said, no, they don't preach it this way. He came to my wall. Then he saw a post I wrote on spiritual disciplines, how people ought to be committed, and he started laughing. He was using smileys. He said, he now wrote, he said, ah, no wonder. I said, no wonder what? No wonder I had a problem with what he said. That even if you want to leave anyhow, see you in heaven. I said, no, this is not legalism. You are not getting the point. Praise God. This is not legalism. Legalism is you trying to merit the goodness of God. So I'm obeying God with the intent of trying to merit God's goodness. Christian commitment is because I have been blessed of God, I will give myself to Him. They are two different things. The motives are different. So the law of Moses says to obey so you can be blessed. The instructions given us in Christ Jesus, and now we ought to conduct ourselves, says because you have been blessed, this is how you ought to live. That's why you see a man like Paul, despite everything he knew. Paul knew that he was under the grace of God. He says, yet I labored more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul understood what to do with the grace of God. The grace of God will make a man labor. Hallelujah. So I'm not laboring to get, I'm not laboring to be approved. I'm laboring because I have been approved of God. I'm laboring because of that which I have received. Are you following? There's a difference. And if you don't get the difference, you would always mix it up. Every call to go an extra mile, every call to be committed, every call to be devoted and to give yourself over to spiritual things will be seen as a call to legalistic, you know, lifestyle. That's not true. Legalism seeks to end the grace of God. Spiritual commitment is maximizing that which you already received. Praise God. They fasted under the Old Testament. The motive was different. New Testament, someone said in the New Testament, there's no fasting. There's fasting. Acts 13. Certain prophets and teachers, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, people fast. Paul even wrote a letter to the church and he says, see, wives, husband and wives, don't deprive yourselves except with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. Paul says in stripes often, in perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, in fastings often. So there's fasting in the New Testament. The difference is why they were fasting in those days, to afflict their souls, to get mercy from God. We don't fast because of all that. We fast to become more spiritually sensitive. We fast to give ourselves more to prayer. I fast to have more time for the study of the Word of God. A man that fasts and goes to work, or goes to the market, or goes to the cinema, or sleeps, is not fasting in the New Testament. Because fasting is not hunger strike. Fasting is so you can have more time for spiritual things. So ideally, when you fast, you must be alone with the Word of God, with prayers. You must have more time for prayer. Glory to God. That's how they do it. You separate yourself. So the motive is different. I'm not fasting in the New Testament because I want to get the power of God. I'm fasting knowing I've been empowered. Hallelujah. And I want to put to use, to a more effective use, the power of God that I have on the inside. Praise God. Fasting actually has its work. In fact, believers who fast are much more conscious of the power of God. It just works. You know why? Because man is built to survive on food, mostly. That is your greatest need as a man. Physical, natural need. So if you can deprive yourself of food, there is nothing you cannot say no to. Hallelujah. That's one of the ways to deal with the flesh. There will be nothing you can't say no to. Praise God. Because food is that which you depend on most, more importantly, food and water. So if you can starve yourself, deprive yourself, and not just depriving yourself, and you give yourself to God's word and prayers, you help yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. What is the grace of God? How do we present the grace of God? Because, of course, the grace of God is the knowledge that brings spiritual growth, but there's a way it is presented that you must not miss. Else you are going to become reckless in your living as a Christian, and you're going to pass on the same attitude to other believers around you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at how Peter presents the grace message. From verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, ready to be revealed in last times. So you see that Peter is talking about our inheritance, Abi, that which we have received. In the same chapter, hallelujah, he speaks of trials that men are going through because of their faith. And then he goes on, look at verse 13. Let's all read together. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is an instruction on how to live. In the same chapter, how to live. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be what? Holy in all your conduct. Verse 15. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Have you seen? He's talking about conduct. How you ought to conduct yourself in view of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That is how to present the grace message. That as we show people their position in Christ, we call their attention to how they ought to conduct themselves now that they are in Christ. The position is not for you to just relax and be happy and be excited. No. The position places a demand on your life. It puts a responsibility on you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the one a lot of people quote. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are past, behold, all things have become new. Verse 14. The love of Christ compels us. Because we judge that if one died, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again. Hallelujah. You see that in the same vein of talking about your identity in Christ, it shows you how you ought to behave yourself because of who you are. Praise God. There must be a corresponding change in lifestyle because of the new life you have received. Glory be to God. Look at this again, 1 Peter. It must affect your life. Your lifestyle, it must impact your character. Your attitude must change. Your family members must know. Your friends, you know. Your colleagues, you know. You met the Lord Jesus. You met the word. Something has changed about this guy. They must be able to testify. See, the evidence of the grace of God in your life must be visible. Hallelujah. You shouldn't live the same way you've been living. That is what is called spiritual growth. Glory be to God. In the same vein, look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1 goes to verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in what? In fear. That's the word reverence. Conduct yourselves in reverence. Because of the grace of God you have received. Because of the life that God has bestowed upon you. There's a need for you to conduct yourself in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Look at this one. Verse 18. He now goes back to show you the reason why you ought to conduct yourself. Verse 18. Can we all read together? Knowing this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of lamb without blemish and without spot. It shows you again the origin of your life. You have been redeemed. That's your position. That's who you are. Because of this, there's a way you ought to live. Praise God. Because you have a new life, there must be a new lifestyle. There must be. That's the grace of God. Otherwise, you're going to live in lascivious. How come some believers, very fervent, they get to church on time, clean the chair. When they see people dusting the chair, they also pick the broom. You meet the grace of God. You see people cleaning the chair, you say, that's right. See, you have become so nonchalant, non-committed, it doesn't even prick you. Hallelujah. Before, you come to church, you are struggling to get to the front seat. And now you just come, you stay at the back. Praise God. Before you knew the grace of God, you had a passion. And people, it was contagious. This person is serving the Lord. I'll be here with the wrong motive. Now that you've met the grace of God, you must double it up. You know that Paul dissipated the same energy that he used in saving the law. He used it for the grace of God. The same zeal. The same way he was persecuting people going to foreign cities. Others were local persecution. Paul collected letters and went on missionary journey. Hallelujah. When he met Jesus, it's the same way Paul was the one that traveled the most. The same energy. The average Jew in those days, when they meet the Lord, they're always very fervent. Because they had that zeal before they met Jesus. I bear them record they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Something is more deadly than zeal without knowledge. It is knowledge without zeal. Men who have knowledge and have no zeal are worse. Because if men have zeal and they don't have knowledge, when they have the right knowledge, it's the same zeal they will use to pursue it. Glory be to God. The grace of God must impact your life. It must bring about the change. You must not become cold, lascivious, and just there. You're just sluggish and slothful because you are now saved forever. Ah, is that the end? Oh, I understand. That was what you were struggling to get before. It was about being saved. Now you know you are saved forever. So, we are saved forever. No. For God, saved forever is not an achievement. It's a gift. So you are just about to start living that life. So you can't be resting. You are in a race. Glory be to God. You cannot be resting. You're saved forever, but you have been called to save. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. Say to your neighbor, the good works are not finished work. Say it like you mean it. Say, the good works are not finished works. There are things to do. Present continuous tense. Glory be to God. Things you must be found doing regularly. Hallelujah. Things you must be found doing regularly. You must be found doing them regularly. You don't lose your childlikeness. You don't lose your wonder. You get more committed. Someone said to me, he said, ever since I met grace, I just became lazy. I said, you didn't meet the grace of God. What you met is not grace. Hallelujah. Oh, but what they taught you as grace is not the true grace of God. Which Peter is saying here, this is the grace of God. A revelation of what you have that must impact how you live. Praise God. That must determine, it must determine a new course and direction for your life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, is showing you that which has happened to you. You purified yourself. But he gives an instruction immediately. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Have you seen? It goes back to your inheritance. Having been born again, verse 23. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of the man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Have you seen how Peter is alternating between your inheritance, your position, your identity, and how you ought to live? It goes to chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones, he has come back to identity. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. Verse 9, let's read together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may. Is that your responsibility? From identity again, it goes back to responsibility, that you may proclaim the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, your inheritance. Verse 11, what does he say? Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Has he gone back to how you ought to live? This is the true grace of God. Who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and how you ought to conduct yourself. This is the true grace. You have not heard it all if you have not heard this. Hallelujah. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. That is the grace of God. So powerful. Life-changing. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Powerful. Life-changing. That's your truth. That's your identity. Forgive one another. That's also your truth. Hallelujah. Bear fruits of righteousness. That's also your truth. You don't hold one and hold and you don't want to see them. Ah, it's unbelievers he's talking to you. Praise God. Abstain from fleshly lust. Fleshly lust is sinners. Praise God. It's not sinners. A believer is called to abstain from fleshly lust. Glory be to God. And that is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. See, under the Old Testament, thou shalt not steal. In the New Testament, thou shalt not steal. Did you get that? Now we are in Christ. Stealing. If you're stealing, that's where I'm safe forever. No, let none of you suffer as a thief, as a murderer. If you steal and you are caught, how are you going to be useful to us in this place? How would you be useful in the ministry? Oh, you would do prison ministry. Convert the inmates. There's a way to live because you're a Christian. It is not smart, you know. It is a very serious thing. Hallelujah. I get so sad when people who have not understood this misrepresent the grace of God. The grace of God is already scandalous. Don't you think so? The grace of God is already a scandal. They said to Paul, so we should not be doing evil that good may come. It says, as we are slanderously reported, that we say and affirm, their condemnation is just. The grace message already sounds too good to be true. You now misrepresent it with your lives. You say all those grace preachers, their standards are so poor. Say, I know a grace preacher is always sleeping with church members, and there are grace preachers like that. It's so bad, it's so terrible. We heard of one that was trying to sleep. We can't even be talking. To say it here is to live the grace of God. Praise God. The kind of atrocities done in the name of we are under grace. We are under grace. He says you have been called to liberty, Galatians 5. Only do not use liberty as a cloak for vice, but by love serve one another. You can't follow Paul who taught the grace of God and you say grace preachers are loose. No! Much discipline. The man did not even marry. Hallelujah. He was so disciplined. He says, I have control. I wish everybody was like me. He did not get married. But didn't be firewood now. Apostle Paul, what are you saying? He said, don't forget to live is Christ, to die is gain. Praise God. Such a level of discipline. And you know what? We are to model this high standard. We must not give room for any loophole. Because the message we carry is already, see, is a scandalous message. People can easily use your life to blackmail the message. As a Christian, it's so easy. If an holiness preacher, for instance, is caught in adultery, many people will say, you know, it's scandalous because they expect him to model holiness. But then eventually people will say, it's not the message. They won't start saying it's because he's preaching holiness. Are you aware? They'll say he's not living his message. What discipline in church here now? Holiness, romantic. Holiness, heaven or hell. But if a grace preacher does the same, they won't just say he's the one misbehaving. They'll say, he's the message. Go and listen to them. They say, you are forgiven once for all. They say, Christ has died for all. Don't shame me here. Hallelujah. It is the message that always falls victim. That's why you and I do not have any other choice than to live that life. Glory to God. Can we be real with ourselves? The grace of God is power. Hallelujah. It doesn't pamper our weaknesses. It changes us. It liberates us. It brings about a transformation. Say, I'm addicted. We say, no, you are not an addict. You are a Christian. And then you hear that for a while, you commit yourself to God's word and you discover the addictions are falling off. That's the power in the message. So it's not some gathering of weaklings who are looking for how to justify their evil ways. We are men that have come in contact with the true grace of God. It is liberating. It changes us. Glory be to God. Many of us were even pretending when we didn't meet the word. We're pretending to be as strong. We're not strong. We're just pretending. It was after we met the message, strength came. We found our strength in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Because when the Bible says to renew our minds, it's not to renew your mind to just anything, no. It's with the knowledge of Christ. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the man whose mind is renewed truly is the man that will be transformed in his living. The grace of God is not powerless. It's not weak. It is potent to change. Potent to liberate. And bring about a change in our lives. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't forget what I said. It is the message that always falls victim. The problem is not with the message. It is with the man. But it is the message they will blackmail. And listen, there are many more atrocities in places where they are not preaching grace. Many more. Hallelujah. Many more. Forget. Holiness, holiness, forget. In fact, in such places, just like the Pharisees, they've gotten so used to it, they don't know what to do, but they must keep preaching holiness. And they are sad. They don't know what, they are frustrated. Glory be to God. They don't know the way out. Holiness. Holiness is in the gospel now. So, if you are not preaching holiness according to Christ, you can't walk in holiness. Pretense. Glory be to God. The Pharisees did worse. According to history, some of those Pharisees were called bleeding Pharisees. Bleeding Pharisees. That is, when you look at their head, just like the Muslims, you see a mark of devotion. He has hit his head on the wall while trying to avoid looking at the woman lustfully. They said, don't commit adultery. They now made more laws. When you see a woman afar off, bend your head and begin to walk. So you hit your head on the wall because you are trying not to look at the woman lustfully. Hallelujah. And to them, that was walking in righteousness. They were so strict. You know, the Sadducees were joking. And when you say, believe in God, there's no heaven, there's no God, there's no spirit. Live anyhow. Hallelujah. But the Pharisees believed both. They believed there were angels, there were spirits, there's heaven. So they were so strict. You know, Paul says, according to the strictness of our father's tradition. Yet, Jesus came upon the scene and said, yeah, really? Praise God. these ones, whitewashed tombs. Inside is full of dead men's bones. Outside is beautiful. They washed the inside, the outside of the cup, the inside is full of death. They were hypocrites. The woman caught in adultery, I'm sure it was a Pharisee that was sleeping with her. They let the man go. They brought the woman. That's why we don't have his identity till today. I'm very sure. It's not in the Bible. Don't come and ask me. I'm just sure. Hallelujah. Extra biblical. But it is my doctrine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But really, those guys were hypocritical. And that's the same today. Holiness is what I long for. Righteousness. Praise God. You know, back in those days, you make promise to God. In the next minute, only God knows where those demons come from. The very thing you said you will not do, the temptation will now become stronger. For every new level, there's a new devil. Hallelujah. Eh? So, amazing. You just discover that it's all pretense. But if you meet the word, if you meet the grace of God, and you are not committed to it, you know, Bible says, it's not the man that looks in the mirror that is changed. The man that looks and continues to look into the perfect law of liberty, that's the man whose life is transformed. If you meet the grace message and you are not committed, you will still be beset by all those things. You will still be living like a weakling. The only difference is that now you know you are saved. Praise God. That's all. And you see, that's not all. There's a life to be experienced. Glory be to God. Imagine if that was how Jesus lived. He just knew he was saved forever. Ministry, I'm saved forever. Oh, yeah, sir, it's now time to die. Die again. I cannot die. This is too hard. Shebi, I'm saved forever. Once a son, always a son. Praise God. And then he lives till he's 99 and dies naturally. Goes back to heaven. Redemption plan failed. Won't he go to heaven? He will go. That's where he came from. He'll go back there. But what would he have done? Would he have served the will of God? Would you and I be saved today? So the grace of God bears responsibilities. There's a life to be lived. There's a life to be experienced. This is the time to read your Bible more because you now understand the grace of God. This is when to read your Bible more. This is when to pray more. This is when to come more for meetings. This is when to preach more. Hallelujah. There should be a more to your life now because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. I don't know how people do it, though. When I met this knowledge, God, that was the game changer for me. My commitment tripled. I've never preached as much as I've preached as when I met the grace of God. My commitment tripled. I remember coming back to Lagos. I went to the bookshop. I got 3 Bibles. A big commentary. A small study Bible. I just gave it out to my sister. NIV, NKJV, and Message Bible. In one. I bought a parallel Bible. I bought a Matthew Henry's commentary. Then I bought a smaller Bible. Amplified. Every night I'll wake up. My candle. I'm read. I just made the message. Hey God. Lazy K. I'm safe forever. Hallelujah. I got more serious. See, a believer that knows he's saved forever should labor like he's trying to be saved by his works. It should be as though it is this your work that will save you. But you know that is not it. But people should look at you and feel like, this guy is trying to get into heaven by what he's doing. That should be the level of commitment. Praise God. Commitment. It should be seen all over you because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Why are you living this way? Because I've come to understand the grace of God. I've come to value that which Christ has given me. Let me give you a layman's example illustration. Grace is gift, so I give you a car to facilitate your business. That is the grace. Hallelujah. Then after I gave you the car, you now started sleeping. Before I gave you the car, you were always on your way out. 4 a.m., you're already on, trying to hang on a bus. You're trying to catch the next bus. 5 a.m., you were always sweating. Your clothes will be dirty before you get to work. Then I gave you a car to facilitate your business. You now started sleeping. Hallelujah. Why? Because now you are safe forever. Praise God. Now you have a car. Hey! Is that not when to labor more? Is that not when to wake up? When you ought to wake up and know you are driving this time, you are not trying to catch any bus, your clothes will still be neat when you get to work. That is when to labor more. Because now you have a better facility. So you have the grace of God. Hallelujah. Another layman's example. You are struggling right now to make it to Amma in this Nigeria. There's no money forthcoming. Somewhere, somehow, somebody wakes you up tomorrow and says you have an inheritance. In 1936, your great-great-grandfather forgot something somewhere. Even your parents don't know. But we've now found it. And the worth is $1 billion. Hallelujah. What would you do? $1 billion. Praise God. After you do Thanksgiving in church, you now go and sleep. My soul, eat and drink. Mary. For tomorrow we die. Praise God. What would you do? Won't you read more on business? If you were sewing under a kiosk, won't you be looking for how to buy some space, on the island and, begin to compete with the, what names now in Nigeria? With the Maya Taf and all that. See, you are doing more. But you can be also, you can also be very frivolous and funny. And just sleep. Put your money in bank. Cheers. Praise God. And just be there. Just be laid back. Just be laid back. And just be spending. Go to Bahamas. Go to Dubai. In fact, you can get to Dubai the way you are so full of yourself. You say you want to buy Dubai. Praise God. Say, how much do you have? Say, $1 billion. Say, okay, bring it. Another person who is so shrewd. Praise God. Say, bring the money. We'll sell Dubai to you. Hallelujah. You come back empty-handed. Praise God. Do you know you can finish your inheritance no matter how much? You didn't read it in the Bible. Give me my inheritance. Give me my inheritance. Oh, yeah, take. Unjeled de. Praise God. Pigs food. No papa benye. Began to want to eat from the until he came to his senses and said, even my father's servants, they eat better than this. Let me go home. He finished his inheritance. You can finish it. But in Christ, you can't finish your inheritance. It's there. It's an inheritance that will not fade away. But you can fail to use it right here. You can fail to underutilize yourself in this world. Because you have now become laid back on serious. Because you're under the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is the grace of God? Knowledge of Christ. What you have in Him. And what you are to do with what you have in Him. Hallelujah. You are not doing it by your might. You are doing because of who you are. So there's ability. There's a supply of God's Spirit. You are not doing it by the flesh. There's the Spirit of God bringing about this change in your life. First Peter, allow us to discuss, share one or two things you know from the Word of God, and we close. First Peter, glory to God. Beloved, as sojourners, you know that already, First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Look at verse 13. Submit yourselves, therefore, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by what? By what? By what? By doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Look at verse 16. Let's all read together. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. You are free, but don't use it as a cloak for vice. use it as bond. That is, deploy your freedom and liberty in the service or towards the service of Christ. Bond servants of Christ. Glory to God. Verse 17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it? Beating for your fault, and you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were also called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Is it back to your inheritance in Christ? Your identity? Yes. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Chapter 3. Wives. Now that you are free, wives, you're not a feminist. Hallelujah. Feminist. What's feminism? Glory be to God. Feminism is an ideology, is a concept that has helped women liberate from the idea of inequality, patriarchy in the society. But the Nigerian brand of feminism is very confused. Hallelujah. I could say this anyway. They are very confused. Feminism in Nigeria is like an association of hungry women. Praise God. They're just hungry. Not all of them. There are people who are feminists in Nigeria who still uphold what it stands for. Hallelujah. You know, when you find a person saying, "All women, all men are dogs." What do you... That's not feminism. If all men are dogs, who born you? Your daddy, God. Is your daddy not a man? All men are not dogs. Hallelujah. And the moment they get married like this to a very good man, everything changes. A man that gives them their privileges, that takes care of them, you start hearing, you know, let's not disrespect men. Let's not. So you see, he was angry before. Praise God. I'm not preaching on feminism. I'm just showing you that Peter did not say, because you are now free, how can a man be the head? I cannot submit to. What submission? Submit care. Lie. It's patriarchy. It's, no. Submission is Bible teaching. A woman, likewise, be submissive to your husbands. Hallelujah. That even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. If as a Christian woman, listen up. If as a Christian woman, you allow the media dictate how you see yourself as a woman today, and how you relate as a woman in your house today, you may not have a good marriage. It's the truth. Some of those Facebook tigers, I cannot cook for a man. I cannot cook for a man. Lie. He's cooking. Praise God. He's cooking. Hallelujah. Cooking. In fact, not just cooking for the man, cooking for his household. Hallelujah. Now, I'm one of those men that believe that cooking is not an exclusive role for the woman. I believe that. In this church, most of the husbands in this church, they cook in their houses. When I go and see Ojiami, he's cooking. Hallelujah. T-man is cooking. He will cook for his wife. The wife will cook. So, it's a normal thing. However, when a woman says, I can never be cooking for a man, that's taking an extreme stance. What do you mean? Praise God. No problem. Don't cook for a man. I'll cook for myself. Sort yourself. Hallelujah. But is that a family? That's not the will of God. So you don't allow the media dictate how you see things. The word of God remains your standard. Hallelujah. It's not easy to submit. Why? You know these men of nowadays. Why are you marrying men of nowadays? Praise God. That's the problem. Don't marry men of nowadays. Marry a man that is in Christ. and submit to Christ. Hallelujah. So, submission is not a risk. Because the man you are told to submit to is the man that should love his wife as Christ loved the church. That's why Sarah didn't have a problem seeing Abraham as Lord. She didn't have a problem. You know, Abraham listened to Sarah. There was never acting like a boss, no. So, it's not a problem. Christian marriage is not a risk. But if you marry men of nowadays should marry women of nowadays. Hallelujah. Let those who are in Christ marry those who are in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's not every man that is in Christ that is following Christ. Praise God. I shall talk with Christian. You go and bring somebody from MFM. Praise God. See, fall down and die. Don't buy yet, Jay. Fall down and die. Every of your family member will fall down and die. I've warned you. Praise God. It's not every man that is in Christ that is following Christ. Praise God. A man that submits to the dictate of the word. Glory be to God. A man that you can quote a scripture and you apologize. He loses his temper. You say, the fruit of the Spirit says, it's true. Mo miss it. Not, oh, to quote scripture. Oh, yeah, really? No, let me. No, they are men like that. The more you try to make them see a reason why they ought to live the way, the more they get angry. In my house. Correct, in my house. A man that submits to the dictate of the word of God. So Peter is teaching the grace of God as something that influences your character, your attitude, your lifestyle. Glory to God. By the way, if you're angry, I mentioned MFM. I'm talking about the matriculation fountain movement. That's what I'm saying. It's not the one you think. Matriculation fountain movement is MFM. That's it. Hallelujah. Before you can't quote me, say, oh, right here, Joe. Praise God. So, back to 1 Peter 2. It's true now. It's an acronym. Anybody can. There's CCC, Celestial Church of Christ. There's Covenant Christian Center. CCC in Google. So, acronyms can be anything. Praise God. First, say, Pastor Enparo, if any grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at this. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the earth with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and are not afraid without any terror. Verse 7. Husbands, likewise. Have you noticed the way Bible writers, apostles always give instructions in relationships? It is not one-sided. It is not woman, just be submissive, sha. Whatever, sha, submit. Husband, likewise. Deal with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Are you aware that when he says submit to them, even if they do not obey the word, the reason why he expects them to submit in spite of whatever, those are cases where the other party is not born again. So whatever is happening, just bear. In case by your conduct, you're able to make the person pay attention to God's word. But when a Christian brother and a sister comes to us and says, my husband is beating me, we don't say, just continue. So that you, without a word, praise God, without a word, that's how some people have landed in the word, praise God, that ended in the mortuary. Uh-huh. So it's not like that. We are to sanction and rebuke the brother according to the word of God. Glory be to God. So, you see, he has gone back to conduct all over again. And he's going to be talking about conduct, for the rest of chapter 3. Conduct. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So he says you have inherited a blessing. Because of that, you must bless others. Hallelujah. You see that the life you have received, the identity, the possession, confers on you a responsibility. Glory be to God. And you see, that's the pattern till chapter 5. Where he now says, this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Praise God. That is, the grace of God does not just show you your inheritance. It doesn't just show you what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ Jesus. And you know, with respect to working in power, authority, and all that, the grace of God also commends you to a work. There's a way you ought to walk as a Christian. Paul at Romans, the book of Romans, justification by faith. He began to teach chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, till he got to chapter 11. He spoke about Israel, chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 10, chapter 11. And then he gets to chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in view of the mercies of God. Which mercy? Everything I've been saying. Present yourselves to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. That is, it is just normal to want to serve God after you have heard this much. It's your reasonable service. The NIV says it is your spiritual act of worship. It is a normal thing. We respond to the mercy of God with diligence and zeal. I want to walk in that which is mine. I want to walk as I ought to walk. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Look at Ephesians. The grace of God. I said we are going to discuss. Okay. But I've taken a lot of time sharing. Ephesians. When it comes to preaching, I'm not a man of my word. Yes, I can say I'm closing now. I close later. That's the only place I'm not a man of my word. Hallelujah. As the Spirit leads. So just bear with me. I'm hoping to, by the grace of God, change this attitude. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show you something carefully. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, let me start from chapter 4. Chapter 4, from verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. Now walk worthy of that calling. There's a walk that becomes the saints. There's an attitude that is expected of the saints. The man that has come into the understanding of what Jesus has done must align his ways and his walk with that knowledge. Praise God. It must affect you. He goes to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord that you no longer walk. Rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You have been called into the life of God. There's a reconciliation. There's a change that has come your way. Your understanding is no more darkened. You've been illuminated. Light has come your way. Hallelujah. You've turned to the Lord. The veil has been taken away. So you can't afford to walk like those whose understandings are darkened. You can't afford to walk like those who are still ignorant. You are not ignorant. You have the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So I beseech you, there's a way to walk. He now goes to verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to walk all uncleanness, greediness. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Have you seen? You have not so learned Christ. You have heard him. You have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ Jesus. That you put off the old man. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators. Hallelujah. Be what? Imitators of God as dear children. The word imitators there in the Greek is the word that actually means to trace. You know, like an artist, you put an image under, then you put another paper on it, Then you make it transparent. Then you begin to trace it out. It means to imitate. That is the way you are meant to imitate God. The exact way God would have lived, it was on the face of the earth. Because God came here once and he showed us a way to live. Christ Jesus. He showed us a pattern. Peter says, leaving us an example to follow his footsteps. John the Beloved says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6, he says, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. Even as he walked. There's a pattern. So be imitators. Emulate God. Trace his footstep. Hallelujah. Because of the life you have received. Look at Colossians. Quickly. Hallelujah. Colossians. This is a life we've been called to live. And the grace of God empowers us to live that life. In fact, one of the things I heard from those grace preachers was, a lot of people say grace is an empowerment. Grace is not an empowerment, it's forgiveness. I said, yes, this forgiveness empowers you. Hallelujah. It's an empowerment. The grace of God is an empowerment. It empowers you to live for God. Titus chapter 2. Look at Colossians quickly before we go to Titus. Then I'll close. Hallelujah. See the prayer of Paul and see the aim, the objective, the goal. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, that you may be filled with all the knowledge of the will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Why should you be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God? Hallelujah. That you may do what? Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As you increase in the knowledge of God, you should begin to bear more fruits. As you increase in the knowledge of God, you should be walking worthy of God. As you increase in the knowledge of God, as you better appreciate the grace of God, it should impact your lifestyle. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. The grace of God must impact your lifestyle. It must dictate your associations. It must choose your friends for you. Hallelujah. Hello, sir. It's not everybody that can be your close friend anymore because of the grace of God. For what communion has light and darkness? What communion is there? What fellowship is there between darkness and light? Between righteousness and unrighteousness? Between Belial and Christ? It says to come out of them. Hallelujah. The knowledge of... It chooses our association. There are people I used to call friends. I no longer call friends. We are not enemies. They are no longer my friends. They can't influence me anymore. Because of the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Been called out of the world to stand apart as lights. Glory to God. Titus chapter 2. Let me close now. Let me close right now. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2. The grace of God, it must affect you. So if so far you've been listening to Pastor IBK and you just love the way he talks about we are saved forever, we are saved forever, we are forgiveness, we are righteous, and you've not taken it to be that you are now meant to be more steadfast, more committed. You have not heard everything I'm saying. Hallelujah. You've not heard everything I'm saying. It must translate into a lifestyle. Glory to God. Titus. Glory to God. Titus chapter 2, from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us. Now what teaching there is the word nurturing. It grows us. It matures us. The teaching is not, don't do it again. It's a nurture. Hallelujah. When you do it again, it brings you up, it nurtures you, it helps you gain your feet again, it makes you stand, it walks you through a process. It's a nurturing. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live what? Soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. The grace of God teaches us to live soberly. The grace of God teaches us to live righteously. The grace of God teaches us to live godly in this present age. It has an impact on our lifestyle. Glory be to God. Jump to your feet and give him praise. Thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. We walk in the grace of God. We walk in the knowledge of his grace. We walk in the knowledge of his grace like never before. We are committed. We are not half-hearted, committed Christians. No. Because of the knowledge of the grace of God, we are committed wholeheartedly. We allow the grace, the knowledge of the grace of God impact our lifestyle. Someone says, Pastor, why did you preach tonight like we are lascivious in this church? No, we are not. But you need to hear it again. That we are not doing something extra Christianly. It is the normal Christian life. This is what the grace of God is meant to have done and is meant to do. And that is what it is doing. Producing responsible men and women. Men committed. Men giving over to these things. Lift your voice and give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him for his grace and mercy. Thank him for his grace and mercy. Thank him for his grace and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. How I love calling your name every day, every day. Oh, Jesus, your name is the same. Oh, how I love calling your name every day,
every day.
Oh, every day, Jesus, your name is the same. Oh, I call you Jesus,
Jesus.
You are Jesus,
Jesus.
How I
love,
how I love to call your name. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and thank him.